Mm-hmm.
This is a question from Bulavani. He says, I attended the lecture of Madhavananda Prabhu in the Budapest temple, where he said that too much tapasya hardens the heart and kills bhakti. Today in the lecture, you again emphasized the importance of tapasya and how the whole Hungarian yatra gives an outstanding example of results of tapasya. I'm sure that you both are delivering the same message, but I'm now completely confused because of the above-mentioned statement, and I would like to ask you to give a brief summary about the meaning of tapasya and some guidance where I can read about it to understand it correctly.
Well, anyway, don't worry, you're not doing too much tapasya. Too much tapasya means that's what Jiva Goswami writes this. This is the Mayavadis, the Gyanis, the Tapasvis living off in the Himalayas, doing all kinds of austerities. It doesn't really refer to devotees trying to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to Mangalarti and chant 16 rounds and follow regulative principles. It really hardly falls into the category of tapasya. So, who was asking the question?
Bula Haini.
There's a lot more tapasya that we could be doing before we have to start worrying about our hearts becoming hard. But that's a fact. And particularly relates to those who aren't even practicing any bhakti or doing any devotional activity. So that's why in that sense, sense enjoyers are even better off than the Mayavadis or the Tapasvis, because at least their hearts are more malleable. Something on that.
Lord Chaitanya says, we're saying Vairagya Vidyanija Bhakti Yoga, that Lord Chaitanya came to teach.
Yeah.
Vairagya.
Vairagya. So where's the Vairagya? Where's the Vairagya? Same thing. Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Ashu Vairagya. So, but devotional vairagya, not dry vairagya, sukshma vairagya, but yukta vairagya. It's a whole philosophy. Why be confused about it?
Also, the Gita says bhava gyana tapasakuta, that it purifies. To perform, and then we can attain love by performing the austerities. What's the kind of austerity that hardens the heart, and what's the kind of austerity that softens the heart?
Austerity that's just performed for the sake of austerity, for getting some material gain, like Hiranyakashipu did austerity, that hardens the heart. But austerity that you perform for pleasing Krishna is bhakti, like following Ekadasi and taking vows to serve Krishna. Those are favorable. So generally that's what it's about, things that are antagonistic towards bhakti or that have no connection with bhakti.
This is a question by Krishna Bhagavan Das. It says, is Tulsi Devi an expansion of the Samvit Shakti, or like the gopis of Raja in Madhurya Rasa, an expansion of Srimati Radharani? In other words, is Tulsi Devi an expansion of Yogamaya Samvit Shakti, or is she an expansion of Srimati Radharani's Ladini Shakti?
I haven't specifically read anything. If we see the Tulsi Devi is an expansion of Brinda Devi, but Brinda Devi's tattva, I can't say I've read anything. Maharaj, do you?
Question was that whether Tulsi is an expansion of Yoga Maya Devi and the Sambit Shakti, or Srimati Radharani and the Hladini Shakti?
I have another that Bhakti Devi is the shadow of Radharani. Tulsi Devi is the giver of the Bhakti, she is not the Bhakti Devi.
Many people give bhakti.
Yes.
That's Bhakti Devi as the personality mentioned in Padma Purana is a separate, seems to be a separate person than Brinda Devi. I don't know. It's a good question. They have to do some research. Sambit Shakti would mean Balaram. But it's an Angamanjari expansion of she's Sambit, not Ladini, or at least not from Srimati Radharani, Prabhupada Radharani's sister. Okay, last one.
This is also from Maini. She says, according to my present level of knowledge, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict in his relations towards women and required the same from his followers. Reading Srila Prabhupada's biography and listening to his disciples, I got to know that he put special emphasis on educating Matajis. In the first travels back to India with his Western disciples, all the Matajis were the pujaris of the new installed deities there. You're also very caring and especially attentive with us. My question is, how can I relate or approach the personality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a Mataji?
Well, it's always best that we don't think of ourselves as Mataji, man or woman, but that we're spirit soul, and that we approach Lord Chaitanya as spirit soul. And as his servants, I don't really understand what the context or the relevance of the question is. But we see that in Prabhupada's arrangement, what ladies can do deity worship, and they can worship Lord Chaitanya, which wasn't certainly directly possible to when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here. In any case, our business is to serve, and according to the service that we're given, we do that, and we may act according to the type of body that we may have. Better not to try to identify with that body, but identify as a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada was also very strict. According to time and circumstance. Lord Chaitanya wasn't spreading a worldwide Krishna consciousness movement in Western countries where people have all kinds of habits and ways, but still Prabhupada wanted us to ultimately learn tradition to incorporate that into our own lives, which means that ladies adopt the culture of Vaishnavis and men adopt the culture of Vaishnavas, and to both of them, both are equally foreign. And that's part of our cultural conquest, is that we're introducing a culture. What does that culture really look like? So if we read Bhagavatam and so on, then we get an idea of what that culture is meant to look like. It may not look like that now, but that's the direction that we should be going in. If we're actually going to give background or a basis on which devotees are actually going to be able to properly practice Krishna consciousness, because the culture that we come from is not devotion friendly. It's just the opposite. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was India 500 years ago, very different from India of today, for most part. But that's what we need to learn and adopt, and it's a real challenge whether we'll do that. Otherwise, if we don't, then staying in the present cultural mode, it will erode devotees' Krishna consciousness, and they'll make concessions with materialistic way of life, like accepting things like creation by evolution or other feminism, egalitarianism, democracy, and so on, as the real structure in which people over the long term should practice Krishna consciousness, and it will become detrimental to Krishna conscious practices. Hare Krishna.